Good morning, Joe.
How are you today?
So far, so good.
Yes, a beautiful day.
It is. And my tulips are popping through.
I know.
In the front yard. It's a good feeling.
I can't wait to see the daffodils at Peacefield.
Yeah, I know. That's always a great sight.
It really is.
The robins have been around, too, so that's a good sign.
Yep, we're starting to get there.
Absolutely.
Don't take the plows off yet, please.
Oh, listen, if nothing else happens, we're going to finish in the black.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, does that get bumped over to the next year's snow removal budget?
Or? No, it falls into free cash.
Oh, okay.
And then the free cash we have certain policy with. But we had taken some money out of that account at tax time because of the revenue shortfalls. So I was a little concerned. It was a little skinny down already, but the winter wasn't too bad, so we pulled it off, thankfully.
Whew. Well, yes. Although, don't forget April 1st, 1997.
I'll never forget it. I was a park director. Lost a lot of trees that day.
Yeah. That hopefully was a one in 100-year event.
Exactly, yeah.
I know the parks, though, are starting to get spruced up. Cemeteries as well. Dave Murphy's department is going strong.
It certainly is. And another thing with the COVID, the pandemic, is that the additional wear and tear in the parks, believe it or not, you don't think about that. But, people looking to get outside and get away from people and indoor environments, we saw a lot more activity in the parks, walking trails and just running around, throwing the frisbee, whatever it may be. But we definitely saw more passive activity, which is interesting. Doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, there's a new resource through the city's website. Folks can find some of those walking trails and day trip locations. Folks ought to check that out. There's places that people might not have been. They lived here all their lives.
Yeah, that, and they get new people to move here. They're not familiar with it, but right. We have some great gems. Merrimount Park, Faxon Park, Squaw Rock, and of course we have a number of state-owned property in Quincy. I mean, a third of the Blue Hills is in Quincy.
Right.
And then of course you get some of the coastal stuff, Nut Island, and beautiful, beautiful spots. So I hope people can enjoy them.
Wollaston Shore Reservation is actually staged.
That's right.
Yeah.
Squanah Point Park. I mean, there's a lot of great spots.
Sure. Yeah. Mayor, can we talk a little bit about a message that you delivered last week to the city's Asian American population with regards to discrimination, racism, violence? It's in the public lexicon these days, certainly.
Yeah, we seem to have had some serious incidents nationally, and not to judge what happened with the shootings down in South, because it seems to be conflicting reports on what the root of that was, but irregardless, I mean, it's we have seen some violence against Asian Americans across the country, and I wanted to make it perfectly clear that that's not Quincy. We have not experienced any of that type of violence, but in talking to some Asian Americans, they have experienced people yelling slurs and things. There's no place for that. So I certainly hope that we can get beyond that as a community, as a country. I often say it, we're all part of the same human family, and there's so much more that we have in common than we do than what divides us. And but I also know that you can't legislate morality, and you can't eliminate racism completely. And by the way, every race, historically, I mean, the Japanese was one of the worst, but every race has their own prejudices and their own biases. So in other words, there are racists in every race, and we got to be cognizant of that. But at the end of the day, there's three categories I look at that some of this stuff comes down to. One is these people could be mentally challenged, they just could be ignorant, or they could be evil. I know that we should have the discussion. We should make sure that we're doing everything we can in our power in the community to try to eliminate this stuff. But at the end of the day, people are people, and we're not going to completely solve it. So, the message is to make sure the Asian Americans understood that, they're part of our community and they're a big part of our community. They're citizens here, and we appreciate their contributions to our community, and we're not going to stand for that kind of stuff.
There is as you're well aware, a virtual discussion on that this evening hosted by the Norfolk County District Attorney's Office that your own police chief will be participating in as well.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely.
7 p.m., and that's accessible through the DA's office or Quincy Asian Resources right here in Quincy as well.
Yes, and Philip Chong and the Quincy Asian Resources, they do a nice job as well. They work with us hand in hand on all types of issues, but we appreciate their work as well.
How is back to school going, Mayor?
Smoothly. Yeah. I mean, we've had a couple of COVID issues with football team at both high schools.
Yep.
So that has caused some disruption. But, you know, overall, it's gone very, very smoothly. I think many of the kids are just thrilled to be back with their classmates and peers and friends, you know, back in the classroom.
Has there been plans for graduations put together yet?
Actually, we're looking at that right now. Mm-hmm. It's always in that first part of June. Mm-hmm. And we are, you know, we were successful last year in the stadium. Fortunately, we have a huge venue there that you're allowed to spread people out without too much trouble. So I'm sure that's the goal. The question is whether we'll be able to do it in one night or will it take two nights for each high school, depending on the number of students and how we divvy it up. I mean, last time it was two family members per student that was allowed for each of the graduations. We ended up with two for Quincy because it was a much bigger class.
Right.
So we're going through that now, and in the coming weeks we'll have that settled.
Okay.
But it looks like we're generally going in the right direction. I mean, we've seen some, you know, we're going down pretty rapidly. Then we kind of flattened out, gone up a little bit. So we got to keep watching it. But, you know, more people get vaccinated. The weather's getting better. Of course, the graduations are held outside, which is bigger.
Yeah.
It's easier as far as the air and so forth goes. So we'll see what happens. And we're still toying with Memorial Day and still toying with Flag Day.
Mm-hmm. I know everything is kind of a question mark right now, depending on vaccinations. I know
Correct.
It's going well here in Quincy. The Manatt Clinic is still going strong.
It is, and I know other people, you know, that are patients at Beth Israel. There's a place at State Street, the Josiah mm-hmm. Quincy building that they're dealing with. And, you know, so everyone's doing their part, and it just takes a little bit of time. And, you know, we're in March now, and, mm-hmm. and I think that nationally they've hit that 100 million vaccination stuff. Well, that's a little under a third of the population of the entire country, so that's a good number.
Right. As you're well aware, Mayor, Marty Walsh has been sworn in as the country's labor secretary. So have you been in touch with the acting mayor of Boston?
She had reached out a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
We had a conversation. I've also had conversations with a couple of other candidates for mayor of Boston and talked a little bit about the addiction issue, talked about Long Island and what their intentions would be on mm-hmm. the bridge. So we're keeping that dialogue open with all the potential new mayor of Boston. I mean, obviously the acting mayor is the mayor until the election.
Mm-hmm.
But pretty good conversation. We're going to keep that up. I still have to fight for my community, my residents. Certainly want to wish now Secretary of Labor Marty Walsh all the best. I mean, he's been that world his whole life. You know, the labor issues, the union issues, and the impact that all of those issues have on society regarding how we just determine the various laws that affect the working conditions, workers' rights, and all those things. So he's an excellent choice for that. I'm certainly happy for him, and I wish him well. And you know, it's quite a role. I mean, that's a cabinet position. It's pretty impressive.
Has Kim Janey indicated if she'll continue to pursue the new Long Island Bridge?
She said she's looking at it,
mm-hmm.
I think you'll hear them all say they're going to continue until there's a better plan put forward, because that is an issue, not only for Boston, for the region. I've had some conversations with Governor Baker about perhaps a regional solution somewhere in the mainland that we could all participate in, because it's an issue that doesn't know any boundaries, you know, doesn't know the limits of towns or cities. It's a major issue. I mean, that whole methadone mile, they come from all over, it seems. They come from other states, which is bizarre to me. I don't know what the attraction is for that, but so we still got a lot of work to do. In fact, I've had this conversation with some of my colleagues and mayors in around Boston. With the pandemic, with such focus on the pandemic, you know, we've lost some traction on the addiction issue. There's no question. So we certainly got to double down on our efforts there and come up with some solutions.
Yeah, is there any money in the American Rescue Plan to the city to that end?
No, not specifically to that.
Okay.
We're still trying to figure out. First of all, we haven't got the money yet, number one.
Okay.
We don't have the check in hand. Number two is we're still getting the rules and regulations from the Department of Treasury, and then there'll be some advisories from the state on what you can spend it on and can't spend it on.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I know that we can use it to backfill revenue. That's an easy one based on the legislation. Easy in the sense that it's pretty clear you can use it for that. So that's about $20-22 million right out of the box. So that's going to be very helpful in stabilizing us. And then in there, it also allows for investment in water and sewer. In that line. So we're still trying to figure out what other, obviously anything related to COVID, you can still use it for that, because that's obviously what we're dealing with right now. But beyond the water and sewer on the infrastructure side, we haven't got any more indication of what other areas it could be spent on. But for example, the COVID stuff, we could certainly give another infusion to some of the food pantries and, excuse me, those other issues, Bay State community, because the mental health issues are more challenging, things like that. So we're going through it last year with the original COVID monies. We kind of set some precedents and standards, so we know generally, at least on the COVID side, what we can do with it. And so we'll be, you know, as we next few weeks, we'll get a little clearer what we can do and can't do.
Okay. So speaking of infrastructure, I'm noticing things are starting to pick up in street improvements, Marymount Parkway, Newport Ave, and Adam Street. Is there going to be more of that happening in the spring?
There's going to be a lot more of that in the next couple of years, Joe. One of the things I've had this conversation with the city councilors individually, we've, in my opinion, we've done a great job in so many areas in the city, including new school buildings and new parks and addressing public safety headquarters and senior center, I could go on and on, but we haven't been as aggressive on the roads because you don't have the money to do everything. So we're now kind of shifting focus a little bit more on the roads and some of the savings we're seeing through some of our other initiatives, such as the pension obligation bond. We're going to be focusing more on the roads. There's just so much need out there. We've got to step up the commitment. I mean, we get the $1.9 million a year from the state. It sounds like a lot of money, but it isn't when you're talking about roads. And we have been doing it in my opinion, in the right way, in that we're doing gas mains and water mains first, letting them settle, and then going in to redo the roads. So there was a lot of water work done this past year, so those roads will be getting repaved this year. But we are going into the council in the coming weeks with a much more aggressive plan to get to a lot more roads over the next couple of years.
Okay. Forward to that, certainly.
And as you know, we're doing it with, you know, granite curb, concrete sidewalks where we can. There's some streets that are so small that the sidewalk kind of rolls into the street,
yes.
The old Cape Cod berm type, that if you put curbs in it, it's going to cause problems for drainage as well as people being able to park on their street because they were never built to stand it. Some of these streets are old glorified driveways, if you will. So, but where we can, we're doing the granite curb and the concrete sidewalks,
sure,
which is more expensive.
Building them to last, though, right?
That's correct. That's the idea. So you don't have to go back for 25 or 30 years.
Yeah.
Certainly, I won't be going back to them in 25 years. Somebody else, maybe.
Mayor, I saw a photograph of you and the fire chief standing next to the city's first electric-powered vehicle.
Did you get a charge out of that? don't quit my day job. Huh?
Exactly.
That's something, you know, Shelley Dean, our energy manager, been pushing, and the technology has gotten much better on the electric vehicles, so... We started with that one, but we're looking at our inspection services fleet, and some of those, for example, the police cruisers are tough. They run 24/7.
Yeah.
Maybe someday there'll be something that will work, but they don't shut off. They come in, guy gets out from this shift, and the woman gets in for the next shift. That's just the way it is.
Yep. So they hot seat them, as they say.
That's right. So there's certain vehicles you just probably will never be able to do it with. I shouldn't say never, but the technology right now, we would restrict that. But there's a lot of other fleets, you know, the DPW, water meter guys, the inspection services stuff, those other cars and vehicles in the fire and police that aren't emergency vehicles, that aren't going 24/7. I think there's a lot of room for improvement there. I do get concerned a little bit. No one's addressing it. The batteries for these vehicles are hazardous material. We talk about that. It's a large battery, and when it's done, the life of it, where does it go? So there's nothing perfect out there yet on environmental stuff. Obviously, solar is nearly perfect because there's no downside to it. But, you know, on this product, everyone says how wonderful it is for the environment. Well, it is, but there still are some challenges going forward. Where do those batteries end up? And when you start adding up the numbers of vehicles that that will have these in the coming years. So, and as we're going forward, certainly the new garages and things we'll have in charging stations, and the new police station will have charging stations in their garage. So it's we're going the right direction.
How do you pay?
A little
for,
at a time.
How do you pay for the charging at the parking garage? How does that happen? Is it credit card based?
I believe there's a credit card process for it. Yes.
Okay. Yep. Just curious about that. Very good. Good to talk to you, Mayor. Appreciate it as always.
Same here, Joe. Enjoy the day.
Thank you. You as well.
Take care.
Bye-bye.